Connection this morning as we talk things over with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman. We're brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, by Tallgrass Motors, and First Baptist Church. Community Connection on the way.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process, and which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
AM 1400 K1, and again talking with a candidate for the 1st District Congressional seat, Andy Coleman. As it sits as of today, we are about a year away from election, but Andy, and as I have said for months now, Jim Bridenstine, the now express choice for the president as the director of NASA, at some point in time, I'm sure he will be confirmed by the Senate. Based on calendar, there's certainly room for a special election sometime between now and what would be the scheduled election a year from now. Good morning. Nice to have you here today.
Well, good morning, Charlie. It is always good to be here with you.
And, you know, some of the things that you and I try to talk about, just first of all, who you are, your background, how you view the potential race for the House. And you bring a set of qualifications that is different from anybody else on the market. First of all, you know, graduate of military training and a worldview that had you over there for a while.
That's right. Yeah, I have not had a hard time distinguishing myself in this race with my background, with my skill sets. And like you said, we are looking at a fluid calendar as far as what we're going to do with this election, whether it's going to be a special or it's going to go into next year. But my military background does kick in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll prepare for the worst, hope for the best. We'll have contingency plans in place, and we're not actually stressing it that much. No. So.
But the parts of the world that are active now were certainly not inactive then. If you want to talk about North Korea, if you want to talk about the Middle East, if you want to talk about North Africa, certainly it all plays back to that military intelligence career.
It does, and actually it goes back a couple decades. When I was at the Air Force Academy, I studied national security, international relations, and political science. Went on to become an intelligence officer like you described on active duty. I was focused on North Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia. As a reservist, I was focused on Europe and Russia. This is interesting. When I was in intelligence school or the intelligence course, the capstone program was a scenario where North Korea goes hot. So
it's amazing how those training scenarios pop up.
That's right. So it's not my first time around this block. And the community here in the 1st District, the families that I talked to, they've picked up on this. They realize that there's a lack of experience in that regard, a lack of background in many of those seats, and that we need more people in those seats, more veterans in those seats, more people with national security experience, more people with foreign policy experience. And here's an interesting one. I'm also the only candidate in this race that has experience in the Muslim world, period. And that's something that I think at the federal level, when we're looking at our national government, that, boy, it's important to understand that world, that worldview, and to be able to make informed decisions.
And you and I also will talk about your high regard for things like the 10th Amendment, that you know, there is a federalism question on a lot of things that the federal government,
preach it, Charlie,
Congress,
preach it, absolutely. So that's the other thing. There's a lot of data points on me. We're talking about my veterans background, we're talking about my intelligence background, but there's even data points on me in this regard. When I went back to law school, I did that. This was a decade ago, more than a decade ago, because I was concerned with where things stood even then constitutionally in our country. You're talking about the 10th Amendment. We could talk about the 1st Amendment, the 2nd Amendment, the 4th Amendment. We can go on and on.
Happy to talk about the 1st Amendment all day long.
But there are. I jumped into the policy trenches back then. I was a leader, an active leader with the Federal Society, and that's their bread and butter. The principles of limited government, that the U.S. Constitution actually means something, that it is a brilliant document, and it's a brilliant design, and it should be followed. So I was active in that regard, active in the Christian Legal Society, seeing my faith in application to the law and to government, and also at the Alliance Defending Freedom, which was a conservative Christian legal organization that took an unapologetic stand in defense of the sanctity of life, religious liberty issues, First Amendment speech issues on campus. These are things that I've taken very seriously before. They were not popular back then. In fact, I call them scarlet letter issues. In those settings, they were wildly unpopular because it was a very liberal setting that I found myself in. But they were the right positions. These were the right positions. These are what I believed in, and they were worth taking a stand on.
I have to believe, though, you faced professors in law school who felt that it was absolutely true that the Constitution is a living, breathing document.
That they absolutely did, and it shifted based off their preferences. And what I would retort to them, respectfully, was that, yeah, it can live and breathe, but it can live and breathe through the amendment process. There's already a design in place to do that, and it functions very well. It has in the past, and it can in the future.
So you would call yourself an originalist. The words that are there mean what they meant when the Constitution was written.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would make that argument over and over again. You wouldn't want to enter into a contract for anything, a purchase a car or a home, if you knew that courts could reinterpret the words that were plainly written, plainly understood, to meet whatever policy preferences that a court, a judge somewhere might have. No way, that doesn't fly. So it's important. These words matter. They mean something. They meant something then, and they can be understood. And that's where the principles of limited government are enshrined, and that's why they're worth defending.
And so the things that we've just talked about, the who Andy Coleman is paragraph that we've just talked about, and it's probably more like a page, but I'm going to write, it's still that would inform your votes in Congress as legislation is written, drafted, discussed, debated, and eventually voted on.
Absolutely. They have to be. If there's no constitutional bearing for a decision that's being made, it doesn't need to be made. The principles of limited government are designed to allow communities to flourish, to keep government out of our hair, out of, you know, every little decision that goes on in our communities, in our schools, in our businesses, that are choking on too many regulations, you name it, or when they're spending money recklessly. It's generally because they've departed from some stream of principled constitutional thinking. So absolutely, I'd be grounded in that regard.
There are then, I think I could infer that you see certain core responsibilities, core functions of government, and
yes,
and what we have today has expanded from that core.
Yes.
I mean, and if it's a peach, and the analogy only holds so far, that core is then the seed of that peach, and
mm-hmm.
and some good stuff around it. It's good and tasty and sweet and liquid, but it's stuff around it.
Yeah, and going back to the Constitution, where our government is right now, especially where our federal government is right now, it's almost unrecognizable from the design that was put forth by our founders. And honestly, in our country, even our founding is under attack right now in many circles. Our founders, the principles of limited government, the U.S. Constitution, and we need people to speak up, take a stand and fight back, lock horns on these issues and push back, because like I said, these are good policies. That's why I'm a conservative. That's why I'm a Republican. That's why I stand where I stand. So anything to bring the trend lines back to earth on our liberties, on our freedom, on the principles of limited government, I would be honored to be a part of that team.
As we look at where the government stands today, and again, whatever comes out is still being debated, but certainly the budget process.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate has passed some things on tax reform and on the budget that at least are its preferences, but the way the government is designed, money bills all supposed to originate in the House.
Yeah, well, here's what I'll say. On the budget process, on tax issues, it's almost like the system's blinking back to life. It's got a long way to go, and it's really been run roughshod over. But yeah, the Congress has the power of the purse. That's really the power that they have, and for too long, they have ceded that power to others, to the executive branch. Again, we're talking about constitutional concerns. This is the power that they have, and they need to exercise it. They need to be responsible stewards of the resources we have. That's, of course, the budget. That's, of course, finance and spending, but it's also our liberties, it's our freedom, it's these other intangibles that are so important to us as a country. We're an exceptional country, We were founded as an exceptional, unique, historical country. And again, it's not all lost. It may be tempting at times for some of us to throw up our hands and think that, well, it was a good run, but it's over. No, it's not. We just need principled people to take a stand and fight back. A little context goes a long way. Our country has faced dark seasons before. At our founding, very difficult season for many. The Civil War, the Depression.
No colony had ever broken apart from the parent stem before.
So what we've needed is just people with some grit to buckle down and to help shepherd our country through some dark passages before. We've done it then. We'll do it again. We just need the right people to stand up and help.
We're talking with congressional candidate Andy Coleman, and we will continue on 1400 K1 in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
And again, we're talking with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman, and talking about who he is. And also, I know you're out talking with voters all the time. And of course, as I look at it, because it's one of the things as a news person, I think it's my responsibility to look at, is the fundraising process, your quarterly filings, and how the fundraising and therefore spending process has gone. How's the fundraising process for the quarter going to be?
It's gone well. We outraised everybody with one exception, so we came in second on that front. But I think that turned a lot of heads because of the quiet background that I marched out of to run for this office. Not much of a public profile before all of this, so I'm pleased. We're in six figures. We've got a mountain still to climb. But we're busy after it, and I am grateful. I want to specifically share to anybody that's listening that's already financially invested in our campaign, thank you very much. Thank you for standing with us. That's the fuel that our campaign runs on. For others that are listening and that would be interested in backing and investing in this kind of effort, this is the type of representation you want for you and your families. You can do that safely and securely online at andycoleman.org. Again, Coleman is just spelled like the camping gear, C-O-L-E-M-A-N. AndyColeman.org is where you can do that.
And I think I would just like to say for anyone who is contemplating giving to a candidate, and I think I need to stay a little neutral on this, now is a little bit more of an immediate time than maybe it would be under a normal campaign because it's an open seat, because Mr. Bridenstine has already been at least put out there as a director for NASA. So timing may be a little bit more critical in this campaign for your donations, whoever they may be going to, than, say, there would be in a normal year.
That's right. The way I describe it is time is of the essence. We want to be prepared to go hot if we need to go hot. If we have more time, great. But we really want to have everything ready to go right now, if at all possible.
What message, and it could be some of the things we've already talked about, but what of your message really is catching fire with voters right now?
Well, I think there's a deep desire for authenticity. I think there's a recognition that people can say lots of things, but you never know what you're going to get. People can campaign one way, then once they're elected, something happens, and they shapeshift, they govern differently, and that's the last thing I want to do. The message I'm sharing right now is what I want to be doing after we win this election, and that's, I remember I had a basketball coach growing up, and when we were on defense, the coach would always say, don't look at the other person's eyes, don't look at their shoulders, watch their hips. And what they're saying is the hips don't lie in basketball. And the same thing is true here. Look at our actions. Look at our backgrounds to make that informed choice. When I've said that I believe something, when I've said in the past that I've stood for something, I've backed it up with action, because sometimes that action came with tremendous professional and personal risk. We haven't touched on this yet in this interview, But in the last several years, what I've done is I walked away from a very nice legal practice to go help in the Middle East, to help the persecuted church with Voice of the Martyrs right here in Bartlesville. I ran all of their Middle East field operations, so that kept me in 17 countries over there, from Iran to Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, 100 days a year out there helping. I slashed that paycheck coming out of the law community. Why? Because it's what I believed in. There was a tremendous need. This community needed help, and that's where I stood up. So I've backed up, whether it's for, you know, standing in the gap for the unborn with the Alliance Defending Freedom, being a voice for the voiceless, for the persecuted church on the other side of the planet. I've backed up what I have said I believed with action. I will do the exact same thing in this role.
So just like running as if you were an incumbent, these are the actions you have taken. It's your record, so to speak, not voting on a bill, but certainly how you have handled your life over the years.
That's right, and that's what I sense, is that there's a recognition that there is a need for authentic, genuine, tested conservative leadership. That's what we bring, that's what we offer. And I'll go one step further. There's also a deep desire to see citizen leadership. I love the ideals of the citizen legislator resonate deeply with me. They just do. Some people, you know, hold this at different degrees of support, but it's something that is very important to me. I'm also the only candidate in this race that has said, if I'm elected, I'm only there for a finite period. If this goes to a special election, I said 4 full terms. And so if you tack on a few months or up to a year on the front end of that, that would be 9 years. If I can't move the football down the field in 9 years, then I deserve probably to come home anyways. That's the way I regard it. I want to put the families, the communities of Oklahoma's 1st District first, and our country. And my career is not even on that equation. So that's what I've done. That's what I've backed up. I'm the only candidate that's done that.
And certainly the only one that I have heard express a finite period of this many terms, this many years.
Yep.
And so that's adding to the conversation yet, I'm sure.
Yep.
Do people seem to resonate with that idea? I mean, it goes back to Jefferson, as far as you go to Congress for a while and you come back and, in his case, you know, tend the farm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's resonated with almost everyone that I've talked to, because I myself, like I said, I studied this starting over 2 decades ago. I've seen people start out principled and then they stay in these roles for too long and something happens and they shift, and 10 years, 20 years later, what they're doing is night and day different than what they did before. So what I want to do, is I want to be salty and principled on my very first day. I want to be salty and principled on my very last day. I want to have the communities here first and foremost on my mind, not what's best for me, what's going to project me and push me up the ladder. I want to be effective, and I want to punch above my weight. You know, yeah, if I'm only there for 9 years, I have to be effective and capable of moving the dial. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for ways. I'm being very intentional on how I approach things so that I can achieve that for the families here.
We touched on the fact that the donor side of things right now is particularly important in this campaign for any candidate. But again, if people would like to step forward and say your message resonates with them, how do they do that?
Again, go to andycoleman.org, andycoleman.org. You can safely and securely invest there. We would be grateful. And you can also find out more about my positions. Go check them out. Kick the tires. Charlie is talking about wanting to see informed citizens voting. That's a great way to do it. You can find out more about where I land. And you can also contact us if you have questions. Check out what events are coming on in the coming weeks. So there's a lot of information out there to utilize.
Thank you very much. Candidate for Congress, Andy Coleman, on a Community Connection on 1400. K1.
Neither taking action on a $215 million budget hole. Last week, the Republican